very good morning. we are well behind our starting time, but things are just a little bit upside down. DG, welcome. We welcome you to this engagement. Maybe let us start as always. Let's know who is here and who is not here. From yourselves, and National Treasury, I see they are here. I'm not sure if the Auditor General is already here, but I think they are not yet here. And then comrades will introduce themselves, and then we can quickly deal and wrap up the issues at hand. DG?
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. From the side of the Department of Social Development, it's myself and our CFO, Mr. Clifford Apples, who will be speaking. SASSA, the CEO of SASSA, has been booked off, he's ill. We have an acting CEO. Can introduce herself. She is substantively the CEO of the National Development Agency, and she has been appointed by the Minister to act while the CEO of SASSA is booked off.
Honorable Chairperson, good morning. Honorable members, good morning. My name is Thamo Mzobe, acting CEO for SASSA, but permanent CEO for National Development Agency. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. My name is Takeru Wachauke. I'm the CFO for SASSA.
Chair, we also have the...
Let them introduce themselves so that we're not confused who is that one there.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Zodwa Mvulane, the Program Manager for SASSA Change Program.
Good morning, Chairperson, members. My name is Clifford Apple, the CFO for the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Osborne Masilila, the Chief Director in the Office of the DG.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Diane Dunkely from Grants Administration in SASSA.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Nelly Siwe Vilagazi. I'm the Chief Operations Officer in the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Chairperson, members. My name is Brenton Van Frieder, Acting DDG for Social Security in the Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Domicile Ndlovu, SASSA Corporate Services.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Sandy Siwanyani, the Head of Internal Audit.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members and colleagues. My name is Abraham Matlangu, CIO, SASSA.
Yes, can you repeat? Yes, can you repeat yourself?
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Members and the Chair. My name is Abraham Matlangu. I'm the CIO at SASSA.
Good morning. My name is Solish Tangana from National Treasury.
Good morning. My name is Raphatha Ramokopa, Executive Strategy, SASSA.
Now, Lina Lagaki Abraham Patlamtlaga from the ministry.
Okay, thanks very much. Comrades, may we introduce ourselves?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Mnyame Zeliboy.
Dumela Mdula Stulo. Lebitso la ka ke Saki Keka.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Thapelo Chiwa.
Ngiyathokoza sihlalo, ngingumkhuleko Hlemeka.
Molweni, Ntombofu Mende.
Sawubona, Tim Bratiset.
Good morning, Lindy Wilson, Portfolio Committee of Social Development.
Right. Thank you very much, Comrade Temba Koti. I chair the committee. Well, DG, the last time we met here, there were a number of issues that were left hanging. That we agreed that we will find time early in the year to meet again and try and tie them down. We had hoped for January. Unfortunately, we can only meet now at the end of February. But hoping that that has given you time and space to tie down on a few things. We cannot pretend that we don't see the elephant in the room, which we raised with you, and the minister said, no, Chair, let's not talk to it. Give us time so we can come back to you and give you a firm report, because we don't want to give you things that are incomplete. The 1st of April, no, Fool's Day, but for the South African public, it is a slowly creeping reality. So, I think it is part of those issues that we need to be dealing with. May I request, comrades, that please may we switch off our cellular phones as always so that they don't interfere with the, our work. So please. Well, it is unfortunate, DG, because the minister is not here. Because I suspect the last issue I spoke to at this juncture, it is more than just an administrative issue. It has become a political issue. And I'm always very hesitant to talk politics, but the reality is that with the economic exclusion of the majority, SASSA is the one that mitigates against against the revolution of the poor. And if you mess up, then you must know everything will go up in flames, either practically or in 2019. So it's a very simple and straightforward thing. So it is way, way, way beyond an administrative issue, and it would have been good to have your political principles, because at this stage, we would want more than just administrative commitments to the issues at hand. And we're not going to go around them. We need to go straight into them, so that when we leave here, the South African people who are watching anxiously answer must feel assured that indeed you are taking responsibility for their needs. It's not about us, it's about our people. And if we have any semblance of respect for our people and care, here is an opportunity for you to demonstrate it and assure them that everything is in place. To compound our problems, the CEO who was here, who listened to everything we discussed that day and made the commitment, is not here as well. I just don't know since when has the acting CEO been in office. Was it yesterday or last week Friday? Just answer it formally.
Chair, the acting CEO effectively has been acting since this morning. I think the minister finalized the papers yesterday for her to act. So she's effectively starting her acting stint.
Since when was the CEO, Mr. Mugwaza, on leave?
The CEO essentially applied for leave on Friday evening.
So who's going to talk to us?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a project leader in terms of the grant system, and then I have a CFO in terms of financials of the agency.
No, don't worry, you're not the first. I think we get this almost all the time. People appointed a day before to come before us and all that. Right. No, I just wanted us to clear those so that we know who is going to talk to the issues. Tim?
Chair, the job of SCOPA is to talk to accounting officers. And I find it insulting in the extreme that we have a scheduled hearing this morning with SASSA. The CEO of SASSA is not here. I don't know if the DG is aware, but there's a story running in the Star today that the CEO of SASSA has been suspended. And I think the DG is being economical with the truth. Yeah. Suddenly someone's sick. If somebody is sick, they're given the day off. They don't appoint an acting CEO for one day. The story running is that this CEO is being suspended. The minister is having a press conference at 11 o'clock. The minister is around. We are being insulted, Chair. We're being insulted in the extreme. There is a time bomb ticking at the moment, and it's going to explode on 31 March if we don't sort it out. And this is the level of treatment we get at SCOPA. That, with all due respect, officials that have very, very little to do with the matter at hand today are representing today. The National Development Agency has got nothing to do with SASSA and the questions we want to ask. Will the person from, Tom Mzobi, will she be able to answer detailed questions on the setup of the CPS contract? I doubt it very, very much. And I find it insulting in the extreme that this is what DSD is presenting to us with some sort of veneer of respectability. And I think they're being economical with the truth. And frankly, I'm disgusted.
Right. What?
The chairperson is correct to say that the duck and diving, we are used to it. That officials come and go and won't be able to regulate against that in terms of your participation in the committee. But the simple interest, ma'am, the DG said to us he's willing to take, when he was here, he said legally he is taking and committing himself to take full responsibility. Are you in a position to do that? Was the second question that he needed to have answered us about today. Is he going to resign when he has not performed?
That's the question he's running away from. He's not sick, he's not dead. He knows what a matter of fact that he owes us in Parliament to give an answer that is he going to resign when he has not performed? Because he's written the report. He has answered our questions, and we're not happy. Across board here. We're not happy. We will definitely do our job as we usually do. But I just want to know from you, if you are not performing, are you going to resign on his behalf? Because he's running from that question. He's not running away from anything else.
Sengwa?
No, Chair. You know, maybe one also needs to be in some strange way guarded in what they say, because people are getting sued, even members are getting sued for what they say in these meetings.
But you are protected.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. But here's the issue. Chair, I'm just interested, really, to know that at such a time of crisis, whether the CEO is sick or suspended, surely, in fairness to this committee, the minister should have been here to actually mitigate against that particular reality. Now, if the acting CEO is here, effective this morning, really, I really don't see why she was brought here. In all truth, this musical chairs that is being played here on the eve of a crisis is what concerns me the most. And I really think, Chair, that we are not being taken seriously. But maybe for us we're used to it, because that's how people treat government. But I think the people who are being taken for the right the most are the recipients of social grants, who need certainty. You know, there was a story doing the rounds over the weekend that the court action has been withdrawn. So we need practical clarity in real terms of what is going on. So you know, I always say this, at the expense of the public. So, Chair, whether we continue or not, that's a decision that will be taken. But I think at the outset, the DG and the team that year need to know which we do not take kindly to this kind of treatment, because it undermines this committee, this parliament, and the public. And they must really stop doing that, because even the crisis we are faced with results out of the fact that the public is undermined.
No, that's fine. Let's do this, comrades. I think the issues at hand cannot be postponed. And well, let's give them an opportunity to. Because Mayor Zodwa, what's your surname?
Mvulane.
Right. The project Zodwa Mvulane is the project manager for the system, meaning that she reports to the CEO. Right, on anything financials, well, the CFO is here, Mr. Chauke. That's the improvisation we can make. But the PFMA talks about the accounting officer. But we have a situation in our hands that we cannot just allow to let go and say, let's see it next week. Let's talk to it and allow SASSA and the department to demonstrate to us that everything is in good hands. If not, well, let's also give them the platform to demonstrate how incompetent they are to the public. So, DG, I think having had that, I think I would like us to... Comrade, Mente and Kekane, you are the ones who will start with the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditures, and then on the cash paymaster services related matters, which would include the 316 million payment. If you have anything on it, let's leave it. Our comrade team will be dealing with that. Well, we are comrades here. There's no ladies first. We're all comrades. Who is going to start? You'll start. Okay. Yes, comrade.
No, thanks, Chair. But I'm a bit concerned. I also wanted to share the same sentiments with my colleagues, because looking at the report before us, actually it is a follow-up to the meeting that we had on the 23rd of November, and we are expected to receive a report. Unfortunately, the CEO, conveniently, he is sick. Now, I don't know, but as you indicated earlier on, let's see, maybe they would be in a position to respond that to some of these questions. Actually, these are not new questions, as I indicated earlier on. It is just a follow-up, because we raised quite a number of issues, ranging from the contracts. And we clearly indicated, and in the AG's report it is very clear, that you have an accumulated figure of 1 billion that is on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Now, in your report, there is an attempt to clarify those issues. And when you read that report, unfortunately, you don't make sense of what is written in the report itself. I take it that this is your report. Okay. Now, let's first look at the breakdown of the 18 million. You are saying that is in your response. 16 million was due to lease contracts that expired.
On which page, comrade? So I can.
It would be on page.
Yeah, not.
Yeah, but on the report it would be. Now, on this report, it would, there are too many twos here.
Is it the but first two or the second two?
It would be the second two. Yes. Are we all there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right at the top.
At the top, yes. Okay.
Yeah, continue.
I'm on intimidation.
No, you're not.
Okay, thank you. You are saying 16 million was due to lease contracts that expired and never renewed. That is on time. The question that we asked, that is previously, was the first question was why? Because obviously, if you sign a contract with whoever, you know that the contract would be expiring at a particular time. And before it even expires, you make preparations. The question was, why was it allowed to even expire without that some contingency plans?
Can we respond to that? What is the explanation on why contracts were allowed to expire? I'm sure team has the usual question. Don't you have calendars? So this is a simple question. Can we have a response to that, acting CEO? Why do we have a contract
Chairperson, I would request if all as a person, as a senior manager, as an executive that is responsible for the management in his office to respond.
Joke.
Thank you very much.
I think the question should be, we investigated so-and-so was the responsible manager who should have done 1, 2, 3, 4, did not do it, and what have you done about it?
Chair, to respond to your question that you wanted to know why this actually has eventually happened. There were two scenarios that we looked into when we reviewed this. The one scenario was in KZN, where we had a shared services arrangement, where SASA and social development will share offices. And the department did not renew the contract because the name, the lease agreement was in the name of the department. And when they moved out, SASA was left in the building. And this is how the other portion actually transpired in that scenario. And we could not have preempted that the lease agreement will not necessarily be renewed. However, once you remain in the building, you will have enjoyed the services in the building. And putting that in the process, we have already looked at a project that we did during the year 2016-17, where we reviewed all the leases in terms of the calendar that the honorable members have been referring to try and check whatever lease that was supposed to expire can be dealt with accordingly. The second one is the one that we said, don't we have a calendar? We do have a calendar in terms of the leases that would have expired. There are two processes that have happened within the organization. And one of the issues is that when we entered into the agreement, the minister made a determination that the leases for the agents would be done through the Department of Public Works. However, during the establishment of SASA, SASA entered into the lease agreement because the minister needed to make that determination. And during that process, there was an understanding that the leases portfolio will be handed over to the National Department of Public Works. But when we send the request for the new accommodation, you find that the requests are not processed timeously. And we're caught at one particular point, like in the Mpumalanga case, where Department of Public Works finalized a lease in terms of the assessment and the evaluation criteria. However, the building that we needed to move into was never ready by the service provider just to do the TNET installation. And we're left in the limbo that we needed to really get the SASA offices going. And in that regard, we had to make actual a decision that to stay in that building and extend the lease. But that happened just after that.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not happy with the response because I'm not talking about the Mpumalanga case. I'm talking about this particular case. And the questions that we are asking now, or that I'm asking, are the questions that we asked, and we said the department must go back and look at all those issues. I think the chairperson also added something, because what we said, that is on the day, we said who was involved, and you must give us that information, and also explain to us as to whether we are going to be in a position to recoup the money. But unfortunately, that is not coming. That is true. It seems as if it's a new question altogether.
No, fine. Maybe let's take it a step forward. Now, being irregular, when is it going to be condoned? Because from your explanation, no one is guilty of any wrongdoing. It was outside your control. When is it going to be condoned?
All the backlog cases, Chairperson, will be done before the 31st of March. All these cases.
So they have not been done.
They have not been finalized, some of them, because the 16 million was made of separate, it was not one case, it was a separate cases, a list of cases. But before the 31st of March, it will have been resolved, Honorable Chair.
No, that, you know why I was asking Comrade Kekas? I wanted to go to National Treasury because I'm not convinced by the explanation. I wanted to check if National Treasury has been convinced by this kind of loose explanation. But now we understand they have not even been sent to National Treasury yet for condonation. Continue.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. The other issue that was also raised that we're not happy about was on the 2 million and the 174,000. Because in your response, in the meeting, and also in this document, you are saying to us, let me read the 174. You said it is related to irregularities during the hiring of also payment of beneficiaries. We said, please unpack the irregularities that we are talking about. And also, that is on the 10 million. Unfortunately, in this report, you still come back and tell us about the irregularities. But what we requested from you is information as to actually what are you talking about. What are these irregularities? Maybe in this meeting you'd be in a position to clarify, that is to us, as to what are you actually talking about.
So, what is this document?
It's the list of cases.
This is the list of cases. When was it submitted to us? Let alone the fact that it's so reader unfriendly. I can't even read a thing out of this. When was this information sent to us?
It should have been sent on Friday. I think we had an arrangement that would be circulated on Friday, but we also brought in along.
Who was going to send it on Friday?
Through the PSD office. So it was supposed to be sent on Friday.
You see, then, DG, you are misleading us. These reports were supposed to have been submitted before the end of the year. And now we're being told that they've already been released last week Friday. See, that honorable member team has got a genuine case to say that your department seems to be undermining parliament.
Comrade, what?
Yeah.
This was sent today, 5:05
Now you see, I mean, how do you have... No, wait, child, it's not your meeting. It's not your house.
At best,
you'll sort out your things at your own house. This is Parliament.
At best, Chauke, there was a document sent yesterday afternoon. And then this morning, it was this as a revised document.
Yes. And we expect to say that Parliament must be effective in monitoring and looking at your work, and be able to qualify and say that they are doing a good job. What do you expect us to do? You are supposed to have done this thing last year. You haven't done it. And you have not even given enough information for members of parliament to be able to do their work. What type of a department is this one, DG? What are you running here? And then you want us to accept that your CEO he is not sick. I mean, he's sick. But clearly you are dodging us. Because he was appointed on the same day that he came here last time. That was the first appointment. And he's not even lasted for 3 months. And he's gone. What is exactly going to your department? Because you, as member, we got the report of SCOPA and the Auditor General's report long ago, and we have made you aware. We even gave you enough time to go and prepare for these reports. You're submitting them at 8:05 today. Are you taking Parliament really seriously? Yes.
All right. Why I raised that job? It was because then the explanations that are contained here
Comrade Gagana would at least have gone to them, so when you respond, he's able to interact with the details, which would assist your interaction in terms of the details that you have and the details that you would have.
Let me clarify this, Chair, because I think it's quite important that we do. On the 30th, on the 2 days that we needed to submit, from my office we submitted a covering memo. What the Honourable Member is talking to, is talking to the covering memo. Linked to the covering memo, there were spreadsheets that had three categories. It was a category of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, damages and losses, and irregular expenditure, which was linked to the memo on the 30th of November. That's what we submitted. Subsequent to that, I decided that we need to appraise the members in terms of an update in relation to the cases themselves. And we brought along an updated version of the report that we submitted actually on the 30th of November. And we thought actually that the honorable members had that opportunity to look at what we submitted on the 30th of November. That was the day that we submitted the memo. And it has attachment with it. And when I gave to the office in DSD here, while I was still here, because I was here on that very same day, I thought we got that information, but if then they've not received it, I think could have been an oversight in terms of the attachment. But I think I did give that. What I'm talking about an updated list of the same cases, because obviously things will have changed between the 30th of November 2016 and to date. And we really want to tender that apology if ever then there's been an inquiry.
All right. Okay.
Look, Chauke, we're not running your department. We are less interested to run your department. We're interested to know where is the fiscus and what is going on. Can you hold on to your own horses and sort out the department? Don't tell our stories here. We've asked for a report to be submitted before the end of November. What you do in your department, why should it be the burden of Parliament? You're not reading for us. You're not writing for us. We wanted you to submit to that office of Comrade Cody. And Comrade Godu would have told us. He's telling us now that the last document arrived here at 8:05. What are we supposed to be doing? He has done his work on his side. You have not run your departmental work. Now you want us to listen to this long story. What are we going to do with that story?
All right. Okay.
You're not helping us at all.
All right.
You're not going to dictate and determine our terms of how we want to engage with reports here. We have not submitted the report on the time that we have agreed as this committee that you must submit the report. This is not a holiday resort. We repeat it.
All right.
We're here to do work. What's your problem?
Okay. No, that's fine. So, I want to check if you still want to go on the... I don't know. Are you able to read this document? This one? All right. That's fine. No, I want you to... Okay, continue, Comrade Gekam. And I hope, Comrade Mente, you are going with a fine comb on the details. Yes, Comrade Gekam, continue. Because when he finishes, I'm coming to you, so you could go into some level of extra detail. Yes, Comrade.
No, thanks, Chair. I respect your ruling, but the difficulty is what prepared on the basis of the information in front of me. Now, the difficulty is if there's additional information that I was not aware of, it's going to be difficult. It would seem as if some of the questions that one is asking, they're irrelevant. But in any case, let me proceed on what I have prepared. I'm in trouble. My shop stewards here are complaining that whether I should proceed or not. But
no, proceed.
That there was a ruling from you, Chair.
Proceed, please.
Let's accept that one. Maybe we need to get reasons on the condonement of the National Treasury.
and a CEO, that is a CEO. On which cases were those?
No, I think, and I wanted to come to that point. The irregular expenditure has not yet been processed for condonment. And the person who must actually answer that question is the CEO, the head of the institution. But it's not here. But it's even worse because the CEO only assumed his responsibilities in November, but was appointed in June. From June until November, he could not assume his duties. And you can lay that at the door of the minister. Why she didn't allow him to resume his responsibilities when he was appointed in June and only in November. So I'm talking then in terms of processing these things, because they must be processed by the person responsible. So,
Chair, without maybe arguing with you, my understanding is I agree with you in terms of the appointment, but my understanding is the CEO, obviously, he or she is a successor-in-law. And if there were processes in the office before he or she was appointed, as soon as he comes in, obviously, he must take responsibility, that is, of those issues.
True.
And earlier on, I was impressed because I wanted to follow, that is, the line of my colleagues here. Now, you made an important intervention, or Honorable Boy, when he said, we are talking to the department, we are not talking to an individual. I found comfort in that, because we are talking to the department, and obviously the officials in the department would be in a position that is to respond to some of these issues. But unfortunately, if we are going to be told that the CEO is not here, then unfortunately it is a futile exercise.
Let's continue. I was merely saying the question that you are raising does need an answer. Why were these things not processed? And the CEO sitting here will say, I was appointed this morning. But I want you to continue. I was just saying, in terms of the actual processing of things, I don't want you to disturb Comrade Gekan. Yes.
Chairperson, you know I wanted to be very passionate and helpful, and I had observed Tim's concern. But you see, with documentation arriving at 8:05, you tend to agree with Tim that Parliament has not been taken seriously. And when Parliament has not been taken, now the total disorganization of the Honourable Member makes our work look a little bit more clumsier, not in a manner that enhances the image of Parliament in being able to do its job of looking at departments in a more proper way. So the substance that brings us together is not ready, Chairperson. The department is not organized, leave alone the individuals. The individuals, I mean, the acting CEO has been endorsed just now at about 8:10 this morning. She's here. She doesn't know a clue. She's got no clue what she's coming to do here, you see. She looks like a flower. Now, we can't be in that particular environment, you see. We need to make a decision that do we proceed with this meeting or not, Chairperson. Because it's not going to help us here. We want information to be able to present to the public that, I mean, it was with the CPS. We'll come to that one. But I'm just saying now, where we wanted to start and to be together with you, we are faced with a problem that the information provided, not even the original information, the questions that were raised by members before, they wanted answers. That information seems not to be gelling and helping us to be able to move on with this meeting.
All right. No, that's fine. I think that will talk to maybe one part on the generality of the irregular expenditure. I don't know completely, but I think there may be one or two issues that we could try our luck and see if we
Comrade Mend.
Chairperson, at first I thought we would be able to get some answers. But as we go along, I realize that even myself, I would not be able to begin. Because in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, besides the irregular expenditure, the minister is directly linked to some of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and she needs to be here in order to answer as well. And with her not here today, her absence here today is affecting the whole session. And the fact that the department cannot provide direct answers on simple things, we are going to have a huge problem, because I took just a glance on the spreadsheets. There are issues that are merely very disturbing. They look like it's nothing, a traffic fine written off. There's a personal responsibility. You cannot break the law of the road and then that is written off. So such things, they need proper answers and they need proper accountability. And therefore, when we say a person who wrote off a traffic fine must resign and go home, we're not going to get any accountability on that.
Right.
So it's difficult, Chairperson. No, I don't think it's going to be proper for us to continue.
No, that's fine. Maybe let's, because there are two legs to our engagement, can we check this other leg and see where it is? Tim?
Chair, aside from my initial comments, and I'll put my indignation aside. The issue about Scopus operation, Chair, is that we ask people to come to meet with us and we expect to get answers from them and we expect to hold them accountable. But when you don't have the right person in the room answering the questions, how can you hold them accountable? That's my problem. So the CEO is sick, apparently. The acting CEO is here. Now, any answer that the acting CEO answers from me today on the CPS contract issue, she can quite easily turn around tomorrow and say, or the minister, or Tukuzani Magwaza can say, well, my colleague, Ms. Mzobi, unfortunately, was not properly briefed. She didn't know the answers. So all the answers given to you were not accurate. That's the issue, the lack of account, and the PFMA sets down that the accounting officer is the competition. Our job as MPs is to hold officials to account, to hold the executives to account. Now, I don't see how we can effectively do that today without the right people in the room. And I'm sorry it seems to me to be, because this is such a crucial issue, that it might have even been a cynical attempt to dodge the bullet that was coming today. I'm very concerned about that. So, Chair, I'm all for digging into things, but I've got to tell you that I'm not sure that the quality of the information, this is all due respect to the folks that have come here.
Can we do this?
That we might not get the right information.
No, just a minute. On the second leg that I was saying, let's look at it as well. Ms. Zodwa Mvulane is the project manager. So, I would imagine that she's the person who will be running with the issue on a day-to-day basis and report to the CEO. So unless she has been given an opportunity to talk to the issues, it might be unfair to imply that she will not be in a position to talk to those issues. So like we have done with the others, let's see. How she responds and how they respond to the issues, and then we can then take it up from there. I think that would be fair.
No, that's the only fair. I mean, the answering questions that we have asked. The CEO, even in good respect to him, he was here. He didn't even know, he had a clue what was he doing. So it's equally the same, acting or non-acting, they are the same. There's no information that is going to be provided. The person who was answering question was the CFO last time. He took all the brunt of taking us through the issues. And we were very tolerant to that, even when the minister was here, because it just happened that minister doesn't, through the rules of SCOPA, doesn't become the ones that take full responsibility. They come and observe. And that's what this minister was going to do. The people who are supposed to be able to give answers is the DG and his department. And they are here. If they can't answer, you then call it a day. I mean, at the moment when we see that really, we're not getting any good responses.
All right. Okay. I don't know, Congress. I wanted to say, can we allow the team to probe into that one? And then we can then come back and have a sense. And what?
Smolanyana.
Smolanyana one. All right.
Chair, I just... CEO's on leave from Friday night. There's an acting CEO effective this morning. All right. How long is this leave? That's what I just wanna clarify in my head to assist me to and how to move forward.
Okay. DG, do we know how long comrades? How long is the CEO going to be on leave?
Thank you, Chair. I think the CEO has been booked off for about 12 days.
12 days.
Sorry? Down.
7 days.
7 days, so it's not a lengthy period of time. I just want to clarify one thing. I spoke to the CEO myself. He does suffer from hypertension. If he has been...
No, that's okay. I think we accept that he's not around, he's on leave. Comrades, I want us to go to this issue. Comrade Chilwana? It's fine. Yeah.
CEO. I mean, hypertension does not...
No, there's an acting CEO appointed.
But the acting CEO has just arrived today. She doesn't know anything about this, about SASA. So we're going to have problems. That's why I'm saying we have technology, and I think we can have teleconferencing or video conferencing.
Can you focus on the meeting, please? You have asked us to proceed.
I wish we could do that. Tim, I'm on you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thank you very much. Sorry, I've just got a bit of a frog in my throat. Chair, I think although my comrade's suggestion here is a good one, I don't think that Mr. Magwaza's hypertension would last today, because we're going to be asking some very difficult questions. All right, Chair, my first batch of questions is titled Wishful Thinking, because the last time the Minister was here, she said that she wished that we'd be repaying grants on the 1st of April 2017. So I certainly share that wish with her. I certainly hope that that wish does come true. I'm going to be directing most of my questions at Zodwa Mbulani. Have I got that right? I do apologise that you're in the firing ground today. Sort of, it wasn't our intention. And I don't want to rehash things here, so I want to move on from where we were last year. Last year we arrived here and we asked the question, what is happening with the CPS contract? And we were given assurances by the minister that certain steps would be taken. So I just want to work through that and just dig down into that whole process into where we are today. So the question I want to start with is, what has the process been since our last engagement? And let's start off with the advisory committee. Can you tell us the background to the advisory committee that was established? Can you tell us when it was established, first of all?
Thank you, Chair. The advisory committee was established in 2014, the 2nd of September 2013, and I think I beg your pardon, Chair. I made a mistake. It's the 2nd of September 2013. And they continued to do their work and completed and gave a preliminary report in October 2014 and a final sign-off one in December 2014.
When did the minister start with DSD?
Choke.
Was it 2010?
When did the minister become minister of...
Minister 2010.
2010.
Okay. Your answer is interesting because you say that committee was set up and we have correspondence stating that the minister instructed the setting of the committee, but she advised the portfolio committee that she'd inherited the committee. It was not of her own making, she'd inherited it, but it seems that it was set up after she started. Can you comment on that?
Chair, there were a number of committees before the advisory committee. I think there were issues in relation to the pay points, the norms and standards and all that. So the first committee before this advisory committee, because the one that I've just made I've responded to, it's in relation to the payment system. But there was a committee before this one. It was looking into the norms and standards, how we are paying in pay points. But I don't have the exact detail of that committee.
All right. Can you tell us who was on this advisory committee? Can you list the persons on the advisory committee?
Chair, I won't be able to because I've not been intimately working on that. I only started being a program manager in 2015. So I'm not intimately... I was not intimately involved in the project to know everybody that has been on the advisory committee. But my colleagues are here to assist me on that one.
Okay. Can anybody else tell us who was on the advisory committee?
Chairperson, we've been trying to be very patient. It's very clear that this department is not ready for us. Even your most confident person that you had, she doesn't have information. She doesn't even know when the minister was appointed. Now she doesn't even know who she's working with. What are we going to do? How do you expect us to proceed? Either we look, unclear and unwise, because Tim has really questioned us at the start of the meeting. Now he's asking questions, he doesn't get answers. How do you want us to proceed on these circumstances? Because the only thing that makes us to work is information. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know what they are doing, why do we have to keep them here?
Yeah,
and frustrate ourselves and traumatize ourselves.
No. Those are still preliminary issues, not the real substantive issues. Can you move to the real substantive issues that would convince some of the people sitting at the back that there is a future?
Chair, I hear what you're saying, and I do understand that maybe my friend here doesn't have the answers, but I think we should proceed through. I will get to the salient parts, Chair, but like any good story, you've got to start at the beginning, because it all builds up to the end. Now, let me just give you the context. SASSA told us that they were going to go away. They were going to work out a method by which SASSA could actually run the grant payments themselves. Okay? We have issues with the fact that there was an advisory committee appointed and paid. We have issues with the fact that from there, work streams were appointed and paid. And I want to just quickly dig into those issues because they are vital to our scope of work. So let's just mark down where we can't have an answer, and we'll mark down where we do get answers. And then we can make an assessment as to whether we need to do this again. But I will move through quickly, Jay. I won't delay the committee. All right, so you don't know who the person were on there. Can I throw some names at you, and you can tell me whether you know these names? Andile Mionya. Tim Sukazi. I'm sure you know these names. Am I right? Tim Sukazi, you must know who he is. Okay. Tankiso Pakis. Okay. Sizwe Shezwe, Shezi. You never heard of Sizwe
Shezi.
And I'm sure you know who Patrick Monyeki is. Okay. So you may not have known him when they were stopped, but you certainly know who these people are now. Okay, so you weren't around at the time, so you can't comment on the terms of reference of the committee, of this advisory committee. You can't comment on that, okay? Do you...
Just ask her to speak to the mic, please.
Yeah, I'll just turn your mic. All right. Okay,
no,
thank you. Thank you, Zoda. All right, the advisory committee, do you have any idea how much they were paid? Or maybe the CFO can help us with that. How much were the advisory committee paid for their work? Chair, I understand that
sure.
We should ask other officials to help us.
Chair, I may not necessarily confirm all of them, but what I can, in terms of the information that I could have, it's about, because the members came and changed at the popular time, and I was not part of it. I think just about 4 million, I think that's what probably might have paid.
Is that 4 million each, or...?
The total in terms of all the members of the committee, I think probably we had, could be just probably, including the secretary, probably about 16 people that probably we interacted with.
So, just to clarify, you paid 4 million rand to 16 people?
No, not 16, I think it's 11 plus... Yeah, there are 11, I think, all of them.
So there are 11 people
had,
and they're paid?
We had met the...
No. Okay, I've got the names, just wanted the numbers. Yeah.
Can you just persuade your chairperson to allow us to be satisfied by the numbers? Let them give us the information. If they don't have that, let's... I hear you are in money. No. When you say like that, you are giving them a chance of us not interrogating them.
It's okay.
Let me be fair.
You see, I don't want them to waste time on reading names because that's not the point. The point is the money. Not the names. Yes.
Okay, Chair, thank you. All right, so I just want to establish that was 4 million rand paid in total. You can just nod. 4 million rand paid in total to all the people who served in the advisory committee over a period of about 1 year. More or less?
Yes, more or less.
Okay, thank you. What processes were undertaken to approve that expenditure?
There was an appointment letters that were done through the minister, and the minister appointed actually the advisory committee, as this was advising the minister.
Okay, thanks. Now, am I right in understanding that the advisory committee from their five or six work streams emanated from the advisory committee? I'm back to you, Zoda. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so do you know, were you involved from there on? Do you know the work streams?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us who ran, can you list the work streams and who ran them?
We're supposed to have had five work streams, but we only managed to get three work streams up and running. As the first work stream is the legal and regulation, which is led by Tim Sugaze. Then we have economic development, which is led by Danki Sopakis. And then we have the business information, which had included banking services as well as program management led by Patrick Munich.
Okay. Now, I need to know, now the work streams, can you give us the nature of the work streams? Were the work streams outside companies that performed services or advisory services for SASA?
The work streams that have been appointed, we procured the services. So each work stream lead will then depending on how they are configured. I can give an example. We procured the legal and regulatory services, of which the work stream lead, being Tim Sugaze, then brought in his legal
the office, of which then it's Tim Sugazi Inc. Incorporated.
Okay, right, so now we're getting closer here. So effectively what we're saying is that the people who served on the advisory committee who advised SASA to set up work streams were creating work for themselves. Because the people who sat in the advisory committee ended up being the team leaders and their companies were doing work for SASA. Am I right in saying that?
The recommendation flowing from the advisory committee report stated that due to institutional memory.
No. You're missing the point. I'm quite... Let's put it beyond dispute and common cause that Mr. Sukazi, Mr. Monyeki, all these people are incredibly well educated and have great experience. Do you not see the inappropriateness of an advisory committee advising the minister on a course of action to work out the grant payment system?
So,
and then, well, please, don't interrupt me. Do you not see that it is inappropriate that an advisory committee that is trying to assist the minister in following up to the grants payment system then appoints themselves to do the work stream work to try and get the system online? Do you not see that as inappropriate?
Apologies for interrupting you, sir. Like I've indicated, we were implementing the recommendation flowing from the advisory committee.
I'm asking you, you're in the firing line today. I'm sorry for that. Do you not think that that was inappropriate? That the person's advising, you come to me in a fiduciary capacity and you say, Tim, what is your advice on such and such and such? And then I'll tell you, this is my advice, and no, by the way, my company can do it for you. Do you think that's appropriate? Okay. Clearly you're undecided. Comrade, let's go into procurement. You said these services were procured. What procedures were followed? Was there a competitive bidding process? All of the amounts I have, which are 4 million rand for the legislative work, 12 million rand for the RCT work, 259,000 rand for the Tankiso Parkies work, etc., etc. It's all over, majority of it is over 500,000. So was there a competitive bidding process? And can you set out what that competitive bidding process was? Give us some detail. Don't just tell me it happened.
The procurement process happened in the following manner. The flowing from the advisory committee, there was a report that was submitted to the SASA executive looking into the options of bringing in the services of the work streams. And out of those options, the executive then recommended one option being utilizing the services of the work stream leads. Then a submission was then, the terms of reference were developed and they were then taken...
You're bouncing around. What was the procurement procedure in terms of the PFMA, not in terms of La La Land, etc.? The PFMA that governs us all, what were the procurement procedures in terms of that? To appoint suppliers to provide goods worth more than 500,000 rand. Can you stick to that, please?
We did not go through a bidding process.
Ah, so there was no competitive bidding process. Okay, so let's sum up. We have an advisory committee that secure work for their companies and get that work without a bidding process. Competitive bidding process. Am I correct? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. That is a question I would have loved to ask the minister today, but unfortunately she's elsewhere. Okay. Let's move on. Now, what was the purpose of these work streams? This whole work stream issue, where was it going?
The
purpose of the work stream was mainly to advise, not necessarily advise on some, but to implement the payment process. In, I can just give an example for the business and banking. They did a due diligence to SASSA to check the IT system, both the and also the capacity that SASSA has. Then and thereafter recommend what process should be followed to get the proper system and assist us in terms of developing the RFPs, you name them, all just assist us in terms of developing the process for the procurement.
Okay, so, and how long has this been carrying on?
They started in August 2016.
August 2016. And where are we now? Do we have a system? Are we going live on 1 April?
No, we don't have a system.
We don't have a system.
We're in the process of procuring.
We spent all this money benefiting the people on the advisory committee, and we are nowhere closer at all to going live on 1st of April with the new SASSA system. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Answer can only be yes.
It's yes and no.
Yes or no? Well, give us the no, please.
The no part, it's the fact that we are in the process of procuring the very systems that we're supposed to get SASSA ready.
Please give us... Oh, so you are going to follow a procurement process. That's quite unusual. Could you tell us what that is and where you're going to go with it? What is this procurement process?
We have already got the request for proposal for the biometrics, system user biometrics. And the RFP was advertised last year in December. It has already closed. We are in the process of evaluating. That's the first component. But parallel to that, we also have a request for information that was advertised. It has been closed. We are currently analyzing the information that has been submitted for us to put the request for proposal out there in the market.
Is any of this ready to go live on 1 April?
No, sir.
Okay. So, just remember, I've got to take you back. The minister told us that they were involved in a process, that SASSA were involved in a process under Dukuzani Magwaza to work out a system which will allow SASSA to run the system on their own. That's what we were told, and we were told it last year. You are now sitting here today saying, despite all this effort, despite the work of all these connected people, we are nowhere closer. And that brings us to where we are today. Where are we today? SASSA faces a fork in the road. You've got the court option, you know what I'm talking about, and you've got the new contract option. Please take us through where SASSA is going to go today, because you haven't exercised either option yet properly in terms of paying people on 1 April. This is what the chair wanted me. He wanted me to get into the detail now.
Am I allowed just to put this in perspective before I can
Absolutely.
Reach your crossroad?
Absolutely.
Chair, the document flowing from the work stream indicated that SASSA is nowhere near ready to be able to be paying grants as at the 1st of April 2017. Therefore, they proposed three options. The first option was to utilize the current service provider to ramp up SASSA to get itself ready, while bringing in a transitional arrangement. Then the third option is SASSA now being able to take over the payment itself in 2019/20 financial year. Now it became clear to SASSA that SASSA won't be ready to take over the payment in as envisaged. Then the major stakeholders were consulted,
National Treasury, the Reserve Bank, and other stakeholders. We then met, there was a task team under the leadership of the Director General of both National Treasury and Social Development and the CEO. The task team involved the members from those departments, including the South African Reserve Bank. We looked into six options that were available, just as an interim measure. The first option, we considered utilizing the services of the current service provider. The second option, consider utilizing the services of the commercial banks, and for both cash and electronic payment. The third option, utilize banks, but only for electronic payment, then ring fence for those that are getting their money through cash, on a cash cash disbursement. Then do a short procurement process for procuring for the cash disbursement. The fifth one, utilize the services of the post office for both cash and electronic payment. Then the sixth one, to invite beneficiaries to give us their commercial bank accounts, those that do have them. Then those that still wish to be paid using the cash dispensation or cash disbursement, we then get a procurement process, a shortened procurement process for cash cash disbursement. Considering all six options that we looked into, both the pros and cons, I will start with the first one. The first one of utilizing the current service provider. The first challenge is that the very contract which is running has been declared invalid. So you cannot extend or work on something that has been declared invalid. Then the second challenge we have in relation to the current service provider, we know there have been issues between SASSA on behalf of beneficiaries with the current service provider of these other commercial packages that they brought with issues of deductions from the beneficiary grant payments. So the pro, I only mentioned the two challenges with the first one. Then the pro is that the current service provider, the card that we are utilizing, has a, it will only expire in December 2017. So it will be easy for us not to get the service provider, the beneficiary is coming in to get a new card. So we'll utilize the current card while replacing it with the first one. Then the second option, that of utilizing the banks. The challenge of utilizing the banks was the fact that currently, the banks are not utilizing, even though they have adopted the biometric standard, but they have not rolled out the infrastructure that accepts biometric. Then also the issue of the transaction fees. They were going to be borne by the beneficiaries rather than being borne by SASSA, because if you are due for 1500, you have to get it in full. So if you now utilize the commercial bank accounts, there are transaction fees that goes together with that account. Then in relation to the short procurement process for cash dispensation, the challenge with that, we were going to separate the beneficiaries, because currently the card that the beneficiaries are utilizing operates both in the closed and the open loop system. So now if you separate the clients, then it means if you are getting your money utilizing cash,
then you are going to be locked in an area and also a province. What I mean by an area, if you have applied in one office in Rustenburg, then it means you'll only be getting your money within that pay point in Rustenburg. You are not going to be...
Just shorten your explanation.
Okay.
They're long and winding.
So with all the six options, then the one safer, it was utilizing the current service provider. So where are we now in terms of the two roads that you have indicated? The first one is the us approaching the Constitutional Court. We have sought legal advice.
Okay, we know the two roads. I want to know which one you're going down. Please don't give me a long story on that. I want to know which one are you going down.
We are going, we are negotiating with the current service provider to be able to check whether is it possible.
Are you negotiating or you're going to negotiate?
We are going to negotiate starting from the 1st.
Okay.
The 1st, so, that's tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So are you telling me categorically that SASSA is not going down the court route? You've made a decision that you're not going to approach the courts. Tell me that, yes or no. Because South Africa is sick and tired of the obfuscation that's been going on. Yes or no, you're going down the court route or not?
The answer cannot be yes or no, sir.
Why not? There's two roads. You can't straddle both. You either have to go to the court to ask for a deviation order, right? Or you need to negotiate a new contract, which means you need Treasury's assistance. So can you please tell me which one you're going to do?
We will be negotiating with the with the current service provider for a new contract.
Okay, so you're not going down the court route?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we got to that answer. Okay, so now here's the problem.
Is that fact
or just your opinion? Is the minister going to contradict you on this? Can we have one questioner, please?
It's because, sir, I'm told to say yes or no, so I cannot explain on any.
You've been explaining all along. I don't think anyone has told you to explain. Well, the question is, you're saying you're not going to court, and I was like, is that fact? I wanted you to say yes. I stand by what I've just said. We're not going to court.
Chair will be going to court to file a supplementary report.
Okay.
So which one?
All right.
May I explain myself? The question was, which route are we taking? Are we going to court to request for an extension of the contract, of which the answer is no? We are not going to court to request for an extension of the contract. Instead, we are going to court to file a supplementary report. The court did discharge its supervisory role over this matter. So this current contract will be running till its end date, being the 31st of March. Then what we are currently proposing...
On a point of order, sir. No, he doesn't persuade you. You must understand that they're not talking to us. They're telling the public about what is going to happen tomorrow. If you say yes or no, the honorable member is correct to ask that question. And if you were not sure, you're supposed to have told us. Now you are telling us too many stories. What are you telling us to tell the broad public tomorrow? Are you ready or not? What is exactly going to happen? Are you going to court or not? What is exactly going to happen? Because the member is correct, he's got the correct right in this parliament to be able to ask a direct question. He represents a constituency. And he's asking questions to be able to give those people an uncertainty that what is the answers tomorrow. And you see, this is what I was saying about this acting CEO. You are not even helping us to be able to say that correct answer or not. You're keeping quiet. Now, we don't know as members of parliament, should we believe what he's saying? Should we believe the teachers? Should we believe you? Who should we really believe? Or should you wait for the minister? Is that the correct answer? Because that member is correct. He's doing his job. We are hunting. We want to know exactly what is going to happen tomorrow. The minister promised us that she'll be coming back with answers.
All
should
right.
We believe you?
Okay. No, that's fine. DG, you wanted to come in.
Thank you, Chair. I think a little bit of context is needed in this on this issue. The first one, in terms of the options that my colleague is outlining, there's been essentially what we were dealing with, the technical...
Sorry, Chair, I've got the letter from Tokozwane Magwaza to Treasury. I know all the options. Please don't tell us all the options again. Your colleague's already done that. I want to know, are you going to court or are you going for a new contract? Because either which way, then I've got more questions. Do you understand? I just want to know, yes or no, which way you're going, then I'd like to ask you questions on the road route you've chosen. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The issue that we wanted to do initially was to do the extension route in terms of option one, going through Concord. So if you took the strategy of the original formulation of option one was to extend, then you would have had to go through the Concord. What has happened since then, and I think that's what Zoda is explaining, is that option one was changed from extension to new, which means that the legal advice that Zodwa got was that you don't need to go to the Concord. What we have asked for is that we do a dual process, that we submit a document before we negotiate to state our intentions, because we need to state to the Concord what is the intentions of the negotiations, what are the parameters of the negotiations, and secondly, then, as agreed, to send in to the Concord a document that outlines what were the outcomes of the negotiations, what were the terms agreed to, so that there's alignment or lack of, we can demonstrate alignment or lack of alignment with what the original hearing of the Concord was. So I think we just needed to state that there
all
was
right.
always the intention to do both.
No, that's fine. Continue.
All right. So you following the advice of Advocate Trengrove to do a full disclosure? And you're not following Michael Hanley's advice. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. So now your problem is, you're going to do a full disclosure to the Constitutional Court, and you're going to go down the route of going for a new contract, which means that you're going to need a shortened process from Treasury. Now, here's the trouble, and we have the Treasury official, Solly's in the room, the boss. Your sick CEO wrote a letter to Mr. Magwaza, sorry, to Mr. Chichangano, on the 7th of February, setting out all your proposals. And the response that came back, and I'm going to quote this, "The reason to extend this invalid contract is not justifiable. Requesting National Treasury to extend a contract that was declared invalid by the highest court will not only be seen as being defiant of the judicial system, but may further be seen as perpetuating the illegal and unconstitutional actions reprimanded by the highest court in the land. SASSA should have requested a deviation to advertise a new tender for a short period in December 2016 or early January 2010 to avoid, and please hear these words, to avoid a self-created emergency." Because that's what this is. "National Treasury does not support the extension of the invalid contract. National Treasury will only support the extension, same terms and conditions being applicable, if the Constitutional Court will further extend the suspension of its invalidity beyond 31 March 2017. Your institution has an obligation to ensure that any contract for goods and services is in accordance with a system that is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective." So, you are literally between the rock and the hard place. Because Treasury will have to approve your process. Doesn't look like it wants to do it. That's the issue you've got at the moment. You've got a major issue. So what are you going to do about it? Or are you going to do like the work streams? Just do it anyway. Forget procurement. Forget that we live in a country of laws. What's the plan?
Okay.
That's what the South African people want to know. What is the plan?
Yeah. Let's have a response, project manager.
Chair, the response coming from the National Treasury, it was based on the fact that they were of the opinion that we are going to court to request for an extension.
Was it their opinion, or was it what you were considering at the time?
It's what we were considering.
So don't say it was their opinion.
Okay.
I mean, that's
plain language.
Apologies.
Apologies. Now, in terms of, even though I'm not a finance person, the CFOs will assist. The question now is, how are we going to procure the services of which we want to procure? The PFMA does give us the leeway to use emergency procurement. And we will then have to give reasons why we are saying it's an emergency. I've heard, and it has been read, that isn't this self-created emergency? To be frank and honest to members, half of it, yes, we can blame it on SASSA. Half of it, no, we cannot blame it on SASSA.
Can you tell us about the other 50% that is blameless?
The due diligence process that looked into the SASSA readiness and the procurement process only started quite late. So it's there.
Why?
So whose fault is that? Sorry, okay, I'm the questioner. Whose fault is that? Who
it's
has
SASSA's
to do,
fault.
So now it's 100% SASSA's fault.
But we have started on the procurement process then.
I'm sure that you are a repentant sinner. My point is, it's SASSA's fault. Because you said it's half SASSA's fault, half somebody else. I'm also a repentant sinner, by the way. But we need to acknowledge what we've done wrong. Is it fair to say it's SASSA's fault?
We wouldn't have known what process, what systems to start to put in place up until we were advised. So it's only that the advice came in late. So hence, I still think there's some blame somewhere else, and then we can only take 50%.
Okay, so the blame is somewhere else.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite remarkable. You know, the first step to fixing a problem is realizing you have one. Just as an advice to you. Right, so let's look at these negotiations. How long have you... You're only starting negotiating tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now you're really being economical with the truth. Because this letter from Mr. Magwaza on the 7th of February points out the possible new rates that CPS are going to charge. That's interesting. So it points out that the current rate is 16.44 and that the new rate will probably be somewhere between 22 to 25 rand. He is approaching Treasury with those figures on the 7th of February. You've never spoken to CPS?
We have not spoken to CPS. The only thing that we did was to get a principal agreement from CPS to be amenable to negotiations. Can I explain the table that is on the letter?
No, you can't. Because it's quite clear. Because I'll tell you something else. You know that CPS One Network is a public company.
Yes, I do.
That they're listed on the NASDAQ and on the JSE.
Yes, I do know.
So you're aware that the minutes and recordings of the stakeholder meetings are open to the public? Have you heard the recording of the last stakeholders meeting?
No, I have not.
You haven't heard Mr. Bellamont boasting about the company and that we've been having many interactions with SASA over the past few months. So what do you say to that?
The interaction that I can account for as the program manager is when we were engaging them, doing the due diligence, and also when we wrote to them to get a principal agreement that they are amenable for negotiation.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you are meeting, you said to me right in the beginning that you're meeting them for the first time tomorrow. But I have a recording, which is, by the way, open to the public because any investor can listen to it, which took place on the 10th of February because Mr. Bellamont refers to the Sona speech of the day before, so we know it's the 10th of February, that time ago, where he makes it quite clear that there have been numerous, he's reporting to his shareholders, that there have been numerous engagements with SASA, and then also makes quite a remarkable statement. He says these engagements have not been shared with Treasury or the public because they don't understand the complexities of these issues. So Mr. Bellamont feels that discussions between SASA and CPS should be kept secret because our friends in the Treasury aren't clever enough or intelligent enough to understand these problems. What is your response to that? And that is fact. I can show you the recording, you can listen to it. How can you tell us you're only meeting them tomorrow where you've been talking to them for ages?
Like I have explained, sir, we have had interactions with them, but it was on the issue of the due diligence, as well as getting them to agree in principle for the negotiation. But negotiating for a new contract, no, we have not started those discussions.
Okay. I'll let you explain that schedule now. The 22 or 25 rand. Tell us about that. Where did those figures come if you have been talking about, if you've been actually talking money?
So I wanted to explain what is in the letter that was written to National Treasury and the figures that are there. The current contract...
Please don't explain the whole letter. It goes into all the options again.
Okay. The current contract that we have, it was a capped fee for 1644 for the 5-year duration.
Mm-hmm.
So because when, as SASA, we did not do a business case for the new contract that we were. So we're just trying to indicate to National Treasury the figure might change if we put in the CPI. So what we then did through the assistance of the CFO, I know the letter because I'm the one who crafted it on behalf of the CEO. We were looking into should we have been paying CPI related figure to CPS, where would we be by now? So that is the tentative figure. It's not the amount that the current service provider might be charging us. He might be coming less, he might be coming more, we don't know, but that one, it's just the CPI related figures that we put in, should it have been growing on an annual basis.
Growing from when? From now onwards.
I beg your pardon?
You refer to CPI and you say this is what the figure should be and if it had been growing according to CPI. From when?
I had indicated the contract started in financial year 2012-13. So we then started to input should we have been paying CPI related if it was growing annually. By now, how much would we have been paying? That's what I was just trying to explain. How come we got into that figure?
Okay, so the current rate is 1644, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that's worth about 2.2 billion. That's what it costs, this distribution.
Exactly.
2.2 billion. So you're saying that when we look at the figure, the new figure, we mustn't apply CPI, which is what, about 6%? We mustn't apply that figure to 1644. We must go back 4 years and add that all up. So that's like the grocer saying, I'm charging you 10 rand for the cucumber, but I'm putting it up tomorrow, but I'm not putting it up by the 6% with CPI now. I'm going to go back 5 years and add all those here up, and I'm going to increase it by 30%. So it's unfair. Would you buy that cucumber? Because that's what the jump to 22 rand is. 1644 to 22 rand, which is in your model, is a 30% jump. To 25 rand is a 50% jump. Do you know what that works out to extra? You should write the letter. What does it work out to extra, 25 rand? On top of the current contract value. Do you know what it is?
Sir, can I explain? That figure, it was just for a budgetary purpose for SASSA, not necessarily that it's a figure that we want the current service provider to charge us.
Do you really expect me to believe that you and your minister has said that we've had nothing to do with CPS? Your minister has told the portfolio committee that. You're telling me that there's been no engagement, but there's reference to engagement in this letter. There's reference to engagement, which I know that you have mentioned on many occasions in portfolio committee, and there's reference to engagement in the shareholders' meeting of CPS. And these figures are just sucked out of the air. Do you really expect us to believe that those figures were just, why not, if it's 1644, why not say we're going up to 1750 or 1850 or 19, which is more CPI related, just taking it up to 6%. Why jump 30 and 50?
I have explained that we have put CPI for 3 solid years, just seeing that where could we have been in terms of the budget if we're paying our service providers a CPI-related figure annually. So this letter was meant to for National Treasury, for them we're indicating we need a budget to be able to pay the handling fee. But that was, we were not suggesting anything to the service provider that this is the fee that you should go with.
Do you know what the budget for that line item is for 2017-18?
If I'm right, it's 2.6 billion.
Correct. So the 22 rand option takes you to 3 billion.
Yes, sir.
And the 25 option takes you to 3.4 billion.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So why are you going way over budget? Why are you going with such high percentages?
Maybe let's not be futuristic in terms of what the outcome of the engagements will be. But
okay, Che, let me explain where I'm coming from, and I'm getting towards the end of my questions. I'm getting to a situation where, and I'm going to put something to you and I want you to comment on it. An emergency was created. Completely 100% SASSA's blame. You've now moved SASSA down the road where you now go to Treasury and you're going to put a gun to their head and say, this country will burn on the 2nd of April if we don't pay these grants. We have to use CPS and the price is going to go up to 1.3 billion. What are you going to do? That's the scenario that SASSA have created. Simple and plain. So I would like to know what your comment is on that. And then I'll have some final questioning on another issue.
The answer that I can give, it's I have talked to the emergency. Self-created emergency, I've agreed with you that partly, yes. Then in relation to the figure of how much will the handling fee be from the service provider, that I don't know what figure they will cost,
But what I can give the assurance to the committee, we have sought the services of an actuary to be able to assist us on coming to the correct figure so that it's scientifically proven. We shouldn't just agree on a figure with the service provider when we negotiate.
Okay. The last area I want to cover is now some of the options that were set out, and I don't want to go through the options, but one of the options was South African Post Bank. Okay? South African Post Office, which incorporates the Post Bank. I know that Minister Gordhan was quite in favour of that. Treasury were quite in favour of that because they regarded it as an interdepartmental arrangement. Why are we not going down that route, and why was the minister so upset about Tukuzwani Magwaza talking to Mark Barnes?
Let him finish. I think he should ask the questions that he have, and if they feel the question is unfair, let them say so.
No, I'm just saying that, Chair, quite clearly that you are supposed to stick to what is in the irregular. You see, but I mean, if to start debating the pros and cons of what goes on in negotiation with CPS, that's way beyond our mind.
No, we're past that point.
These questions are now beginning to have bearing on trying to interfere with the work of the department.
No, he has passed that question.
But he's gone far. He's bringing the post office, Chair. I'm just questioning about that, Chair.
No. It's fine. I mean, the minister sat there and told us that by January they'll give us something substantive about where they're going with this thing, and it's not there. So the issue of the negotiations that will start tomorrow, if that is the case, we can't go into that because that's something in the future. But the processes that brought us where we are, I think that's what we're at. Yes, Tim?
Well, Chair, I just wanted to get an idea from the colleagues here why SAFO wasn't a feasible option. Because other role players supported the idea.
Chair, we had interactions with the post office. We invited them twice as SAFO to have a discussion. And even now, when we had the request for information, they did hand in their bid document. And we did consider utilizing SABO in the transition. We are considering utilizing their desk as well as looking into the footprint of SABO. But what I can indicate, SABO has about 2,600 footprint throughout the country. We have 10,000 pay points. So we have mapped where the footprint of SABO is. Then we will be in discussion with SABO to check if we could be able to utilize some of their footprint in offices, but they are not going to be able to utilize all of them at because currently when you look at how SAPO is configured, it's mainly in your semi-urban and urban areas. So in your far-flung rural areas, we do have what they only call like where they just deposit the post without necessarily having a footprint there. So we still have to continue utilizing our own normal, traditional bay points. But we are considering utilizing them. But in their bid document, even though I'm not allowed to indicate exactly what is it that they've written in the bid document, they are not ready for April.
Don't judge them here, okay? Don't judge them here, because you're not assisting this lingering perception that there is this strong bond with CPS that you just can't break. Everybody must be rubbished, and you only have...
Chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Chair, can I comment on what they're saying? No, can I comment? Because really, I mean, I thought that we were going to stick to what originally agreed on. But the point is now simply, quite clearly, that the official has not the final say in the department. Can't we then invite the minister directly if ever you've got so much interest?
Well, the minister should be here.
Because now you are really asking her to go way beyond her own personal mandate. And I don't think that she has got the jurisdiction.
I've actually stopped her from commenting.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that so far she's been going too far.
Well, she's the project manager.
She's
should
project
have all
manager,
the answers.
But Chair, at the end of the day, she doesn't carry the decision of how this...
True, not decisions, but information on what is happening, on processes. Decision-making...
Chair, sorry, on a point of order, this is my section. And we agreed that I was going to ask the questions and we would note what our colleague could answer and what she couldn't answer. And she's at any stage quite welcome to say, I don't know the answer to that question, and I'll move on. So please, the interruptions, I'm sure they're well meant. I'm almost finished.
Right.
I can just carry on.
Can you just finish? Let's allow us to finish, comrades. Yeah, no. I'll whatever you want to say, I'll give you the opportunity. So let's allow him to finish.
Okay. So, to summarize where we are, SASA is going to have to work with Treasury to renew this contract. And you're hoping to use emergency PFMA regulations to do it. Is that correct?
We are not renewing a contract. We are getting into a new contract.
Yeah. What? Sorry, I meant a new contract.
Yes, but we'll be working assisted by National Treasury.
All right. So, yes, hopefully they will assist you, because their previous letter says that they're quite reluctant because you're wanting to enter into a contract with a company that has been, whose original contract was deemed to be invalid. Now, the question I need to ask is, and this is my final question, we have a situation where you've made a choice of that you want to continue with the company CPS1, which is a white American company with a white Australian of French origin running it and a CFO who is a white Afrikaner. How does that fit in with radical economic transformation and trying to move away from white monopoly capital and rejecting the South African post office, which is exactly what your minister said she was trying to do when she commented on the budget on the 23rd of February? How does that fit into the whole scheme of things of trying to move away from white monopoly capital and using this company, CPS? And this is why I was raising the SAPO issue. Why are we not benefiting our own people? That is the stated objective of the President of the Republic. Can you comment on that?
I think the DG is well placed to answer that one.
With all due respect, I think that's a political question that I would rather not answer.
Fair enough, Chair. I do have one last question which relates specifically to regular expenditure. And the DG is exactly the right person to answer, but I think that this is something that needs to be answered.
Yeah.
DG, are you aware of the reports that an amount of 10 million rand was paid to a company, to an NGO called Are Acheng, in the Gauteng area, and that a Gumani Mokwevo told the supervisors of that NGO to pass the money on to a place called the New Life Recovery Center, the Life Recovery Center. In other words, to launder the money through them, because Life Recovery Center were going to be receiving Isidimeni patients. And they were not yet registered. Are you aware of that? And is any action being taken? Because obviously the payment of money through one account into another is highly irregular. Are you aware of it, and is anything going to be happening about it? Thanks.
You know
it? Yes, Chair, I'm aware of that, and I'm engaging with the HOD of the Gauteng province around that because I've asked for an inquiry onto that. Essentially, I also got wind of it through the media. Essentially, that's a provincial DSB transfer, but we need to look into it for national as well.
All right. Okay, Shengwa.
Chair, you know what I wanted to say? Oh, first, thank you for the opportunity, Chair. That we had asked the question earlier on, do we continue or not continue? We said, no, the persons that are here are fit and proper to answer the question. We did not place a scope into whether what type of questions they would ask. So now, when there's certain things that they can cannot answer, that's what raises the problem for me. When you start now saying, well. But Chair, the second point is that in an advisory committee of 11 to 16 people, there about, with 4 million rand, we are on the eve of the crisis which they are meant to avert. That on its own is wasteful and fruitless expenditure, an absolute failure of systems, because this was known. But the third point, Chair, is I want to be very clear. I don't want to ask a question. CPS will be negotiated with, fair enough, because there's a crisis. But Chair, let us be honest, that CPS has not been an honest partner for our people. And I am just fearful of the fact that we are now trying to circumvent the court process with saying we are negotiating a new contract as opposed to asking for the so-called extension. Chair, I want to plead with you that as a matter of urgency, the minister was here. I was not here that day, but I made it a point to go back to the recording. I'm pleading with you, Chair, to get the minister here, because the irregularities of this entire transaction are escalating, and it is our responsibility here to ensure that it doesn't happen. We cannot be expected to sit back and allow a bunch of crooks to be negotiated with. It's not fair. Absolutely not fair. Because a failure to plan is planning to fail, and that's why we arrived at this point. That's why I'm with Tim, that we can't accept the fact that Sasa says partly to blame and partly to blame. Chair, I request that we get the minister here so she can clarify the commitments she made at the last meeting. That was the issue, because now we have the certain things that they can answer, certain things that they cannot answer. So that we need the principal head here, and if the CEO will be back in 7 days, well, all good and well, then they can come back and answer those questions. But just think, Dalungu acting CEO here as openly and as if that's the case. But Chair, read what's happening. That's so clearly important with this hearing, in all honesty. And I don't think it's fair on us, I don't think it's fair on the public, because we are giving them half-baked and half-cooked information.
I'm a left shifter. I'll start from the left, come to the right. Ross, and then I'll come to you.
Thank you, Chair. It's a good start from the left. Chairperson, thank you. Yes, just
Let's just note the question so we get all the questions and then we can respond.
Adding to the concern of my colleagues with regard to CPS and the latter speaker, Mr. Schwenger, I fully agree that if you note in 2013 the contract was found irregular by the Constitutional Court and that we had 4 years in terms of remedial action that could have been taken, and there were several proposals also from a reputable institution like the Treasury that advocated for the banks to be involved. In 4 years, and if I understand the project manager correctly, you mentioned, ma'am, that the biometric standard and the transaction fees were the problem. Certainly those are issues that you could have taken up with the banks in 4 years. And I agree with my colleague, Tim Bratiseth, that this is an emergency created, and then that we are now seeing the situation where the situation is circumvented to once again appoint the same service provider which was found unwanting by the Constitutional Court. It is a grave concern for us.
Right.
It's a grave concern for the country. We have 17 million people dependent. on these grounds, and I think it's very late in the day. And then I come to the issue of consequence and political consequence. I fully agree that the minister should be present to take our questions in this regard, and I will rest my case at this point.
I'll come to you, ma'am. You had your hand up? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. While I'm not a member of the scope of portfolio, I am a member of the portfolio of social development, and obviously we've been trying to get answers to questions for a very long time and have not been successful. I have a couple of questions. First of all,
let's restrict them to your best two.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, sir. The leader of the project at SASA stated that they are now, the PFMA allows for emergency procurement, and that they are now going the emergency procurement route to cover themselves in terms of the legalities of the PFMA. My question is this. It was painfully, painfully obvious that in August, September last year, that they were not going to be able to do the grants takeover. As early as that, it was painfully obvious, and we were starting to get those signs. Why did they not open the competitive bidding process then, for as per the Treasury, which is what the Treasury recommended later on? Why didn't they do it then? Why have they clung so hard to the CPS situation when this problem should not even be before SCOPA today? And secondly, on page 332 of the national budget, there's a lot of information there with regards to what they are going to spend. And one of them is my biggest concern in lines with this. The agency currently spends $2 billion per year on contracting the full payment function to a service provider. This is in terms of the grants payments. This baseline expects to be maintained in the medium term. In other words, they have not budgeted for an increase. They were quite satisfactory that the current rate was going to be maintained. If that is the case, had they then not negotiated with CPS, because how do you budget for something you don't know? Or has somebody messed up the budget completely?
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we need, what's his name? I forgot the same. Sorry, from Treasury to answer to some of the questions that have been asked. Shitangan. To answer to some of the questions that have been said, because I'm looking at PFMA, and irrespective of what Ms. Zodwa Mvulane, who used to be in the same school that I know her, irrespective of what she has said, when I look into the PFMA, it does not make sense, because they should have been in contact with Treasury. And I want to find out, how long has this CPS been contracted for? It's coming to an end soon, but how long have they been contracted for? Are you saying DG coming into Parliament, and we have a constituency that we are accountable to, and they will be looking for their pensions, and they won't get pensions? Are you saying that you did not plan? You know, in a simple term, Chairperson, are you saying that you did not plan what comes, what's going to happen after these contracts come to an end? I mean, I'm thinking of somebody who's sick for 7 days and they get a replacement, or somebody acting as a CEO who does not know anything about that particular portfolio. Are you here taking us for granted? Do you think that we are really here to play? We're not playing. We cannot have an official who, her ticket was paid in by the government, to come here and look at all of us and say, I was just being appointed to be an acting CEO. We are really not here to play. Our people out there, they really need this money. You can say that post office is not in each and every rural area, but home affairs as well is not in all the areas. But when there's a need, there will always be mobile
what is it, mobile transport or mobile offices. Why can't we have that mobile offices? If we're saying that we're taking each other serious as government, there's post office, why can't we bring post office on board? And you know that you are not going to pay the fees that you are paying with CPS. Who is owning this CPS? Maybe it's about time that we need to know who's owning CPS, because this CPS is costing us. And it's costing us serious money that people are not going to get when they are supposed to be getting. And I think when you stopped Comrade Tim earlier on when he was asking about the companies, you should not have stopped, because it was evident enough that the advisory committee, they were there to, you know, to create jobs for themselves, which is what the conclusion was. But, you know, I like the way he was getting on into who are the advisory committee members, so that we can look into what companies they've given themselves to. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, Chair, I would be very much disappointed next year when we get the audit report and this $4 million does not reflect as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because we didn't get anything from that advisory committee or whoever they are. One, what was the initial image of that committee which they presented to the program manager and the minister and everyone else in terms of time frame? When are we going to be at what stage? Are we going to be, and how much is going to be involved? What was the image that was painted to you in terms of these time frames? And what did they say about the 31st of March to you? Now, we come back with the obsession of the CPS. There is a huge outcry about CPS. People are getting unauthorized debit orders. And no one else but this same CPS system that allows unauthorized debit orders into the system, a system that is proclaimed to be very accurate, proclaimed to be the best. Why are we not considering other means and ways of giving money to the people? I am not buying this, whatever we are getting told here. Everything was clear from the beginning. Everything was clear from the beginning, and we kept being told, no, we've got it under control. No problem. Everything is under control. Nothing was under control. Today, Treasury says, I will not give you money and assist you to break the law and assist you to undermine the Constitutional Court, which is correct. All of us seated here, we are guided by the Constitutional Court. So where are you going to get money from? Are you going to load an AK-47 to Treasury's head and ourselves? Are we going to sit here and give you money and tell Treasury give them money because this is an emergency? This is not an emergency. PFMA is very clear. Consequences must be applied to those who have failed to follow it. Now you are going to fail to follow PFMA, but just not the PFMA. Undermine the Constitutional Court as well. And we must be part and parcel of that. That cannot happen, Chair. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I don't think any amount of questions would change the situation. I think we have agreed in this meeting that the officials before us are unable to provide answers to the questions that we have been asking. I then align myself with what Honorable Sengwa has indicated earlier on, that this is urgent and it is of public interest. It would then be correct for us to maybe get the minister here and try and deal with this situation. Because to be honest, I heard what my colleagues are saying, but unfortunately the answers that we'd be getting they are not going to assist us in resolving this problem. That's my plea, Chair.
Okay. Wait, I'm now on my extreme right.
You know, Chairperson, you're going to be in trouble. You know, in our own humbleness as members of Parliament, we have got a consciousness. And who are trying to do what is quite important for our own people. As Honorable Gagana is saying, no other answer is going to change our view. Because when the Auditor General put the matter in front of us, extensive research was done and analysis by himself, and he told us that there's going to be a crisis. Can SCOPA apply its mind and get down to business? SCOPA in itself had engaged Treasury. We have engaged the Portfolio Committee. We have re-engaged the Auditor General. And the member of the executive had then said to us on the last day that she will come back to us definitely and provide the answers, because she don't foresee a crisis. So we do go along with saying that let's give her the opportunity. But I do think, where I'm seated, that if the Portfolio Committee, and given the sequence of how team today has given more facts to how things have happened, if we don't go for a full investigation of the whole matter, we are going to be seen as the public as not having taken them very serious. So it would be borne upon this committee and in our own consciousness to reflect very strongly on the matter and call for a full investigation and ask Parliament to take a full investigation into the whole matter, because you can't have, correctly so said by Honorable May, from the member who clearly said that there's a constitutional court decision 3 years back, and we are seated with that particular, wouldn't have been dragged in as SCOPA on this particular matter if the matter was resolved in the Portfolio Committee. 3 years down the line, we are not even certain what the Constitutional Court will be provided for and what is going to be the solution. And we've got 70 million people who are going to suffer because of the decision that would have ever been made, which there is no clarity that what is that decision today. I would say, Chairperson, if SCOPA doesn't get convinced or that the preparation goes in what the ministry is saying, we should go for a full investigation so that we can get answers to the questions that have not been provided. Because the nature of the department, it has been changing. You get a CEO who gets nominated at 8:10 in the morning to come and answer questions. Clearly, you're not taking Parliament seriously. You're not really treating us as people who are honorable, who are supposed to do work. And what do you expect us to say to that particular person? We have got a CEO who has not been at work. I mean, he got appointed on the day the matter was presented to him, and from there on, nothing has happened. Now, where does Parliament come in? I mean, nobody treats us serious. And I mean, South Africans can't elect people to lead them, and those people, they themselves, are not being taken serious. So I'm just saying to a person, put it on, that if the ministry and anything happens, maybe SCOPA should call for a full investigation of the matter itself.
All right. What I'm going to do, Tim, I want to give you, and then I want to give the officials to the project manager and hopefully the DG. Chitangan. I'm not sure if there is anything you would want to talk to on this current matter, because Treasury is very much or will be very much in the thick of things to assist this process. at the end of the day. I'll check with you and see what your response can be. Tim?
Chair, I'll be extremely brief, and I'll address this to Zodwa and to the DG. You're meeting with CPS tomorrow. What are you going to do if you don't come to an agreement with CPS? Let's disregard all the other factors and Treasury and everything like that. You're going to meet with them tomorrow. If you don't come to an agreement. My colleagues are saying it's a done deal. But if you don't, what are you going to do in the absence of this done deal? Have you thought about any fallback position at all? Thank you, Chair. That's all.
All right. Let me start with you, Project Manager, and then GG. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Primrose Sondi. I'm not a part of this committee, but I'm the part of the Committee of the Social Development. That's why I'm here. Umbuzo ndinawo chepesi na ungakanani. Mna ndibona ingxaki le esihlangabezana nayo apha. Mna ndibona isikhathi sisibonakala ukuthi asikho siphelile. Okokuba sibe sinesiqinisekiso sokuba esisibonelelo sabantu sizoba bazobe bayasixhamla ngayo i-first ka-April. Ngoba ifikile and akwabikho sigqibo esiphelele. Nenza njani ke ngama-beneficiary la ethu over the South Africa. And ndiyaphinda futhi kwakhona bendikhe ndatsho nakwiveke ephelile ndathi u-National Treasure yena akhange anike themba, anike siqinisekiso sokuba lukhona uncedo oluzawuba khona. And then lo come 1st April andiyazi ukuba uza nantoni. Ndicinga uba inoba uletha i-disaster ngendlela endibona ngakhona. Enkosi, Chairperson, thank you.
Project Manager and then the DG and then we'll check with National Treasure.
Chair, we do have and we are working on a plan B should our negotiations not go the way we wanted. We have, with the assistance of National Treasury, we have been speaking to IBANCSEF in relation to will we be able to pay, because currently if we dissect our beneficiaries, we have 1.6 million that are utilizing their own commercial bank accounts, and then we have close to 10 million, which we are paying using the Grindrod bank account. So we are looking into if all else fail, are we able to transfer the money directly using the bank services to these accounts. So we are looking into such modalities, even though it might have its own challenges of getting the money into their accounts. It's not an issue. But for those that don't have the PIN numbers, because we have older people and the disabled, of whom National Treasury gave us the amnesty for them not utilizing the signature and or PIN to access the their money, only utilizing biometric. So it might be a challenge to see how we get their money to them, but there is a plan B on this. Then the... Why, if the Constitution gave a judgment in 2013, why only now? If members recall, the judgment was given, but then SASSA was instructed to run a procurement process. We got into that procurement process, which was only finalized, and we could not get responsive bids in 2015. In that bid, there were five companies that bid it. Two of them withdrew
and we ended up with three companies. So in the three companies that remained behind could not pass the first stage of just administrative compliance. So we only had a year from September 2015 to now to prepare for the SASSA being a payment.
DG, I might have not gotten it when Zoda was explaining it earlier. What are they negotiating with CPS? What is SASSA negotiating with CPS? If the DG can take us...
Alright, okay. Thank you, Chair. I think I must stress that for many of us, CPS was not the preferred option, or even the obvious option given the legalities. Before taking over as DG, I chaired an advisory committee, ministerial committee, together with the Black Sash, dealing with the deductions issues. So one of the issues that concerned us was CPS in the financial services space and the deductions. So in terms of all the processes that we've come to and the fact that in the end we could only go for CPS is something that we discussed, and it was not always... You know, we had to eventually come to that decision based on the emergency issue. SAPO and the national payment system is something that we, together with National Treasury and others, have looked at in terms of the long term. So SAPO in the immediate issue, actually, the footprint was a stumbling block. I confirmed that even in discussions with the DG responsible there. But essentially going forward, we still want to explore that because it's important in terms of ensuring that we use the national payment system to transform the financial sector. But finally, I think just on the negotiations themselves, on the questions that were asked, the minister stated very clearly that based on a letter written to her by the Minister of Finance, stating amongst others that whatever happens can only be done within the confines of the existing budget. The minister stated that she agrees with that, and that going into the negotiations, we will be, that's one of the guidelines, is to negotiate within the existing budget. And I think that's an important guideline to emphasize. The second guideline to emphasize is that whatever the negotiating team agrees with CPS must provide very specific safeguards around deductions, that there can be no scope, no gray area around the possibility of deductions continuing. That is something that the minister also stated to the portfolio committee. So in terms of guiding and providing some kind of guidance and parameters for the negotiating team, that was stated by the minister very directly on last week at the portfolio committee. Essentially, we've come to a situation where we're going with CPS, who is the current service provider, precisely to avoid a crisis on the 1st of April. And essentially, you know, so myself, the DG of Treasury, and others have discussed and deliberated around these issues. We had other options, but in the end, based on the evidence presented to us, that's what we settled for in the end.
Okay. I said I want to give National Treasury. So, all right, clarify yourself. All right.
No, Director General. Are you saying to us honestly now, given whatever Zoda has said, that with other departments you have come to a conclusion that they are going along with CPS? So there's no basis of negotiations. You have made a decision. So you see the problem, we have also worked out that you are not misleading us. You see that thing. That's why I was saying that earlier, that Zoda is not reflecting the truth. The truth comes out with you who somewhere where you sit with other departments and treasury in a negotiating team. And in the fact that they've been presented, it said that CPS is progressing, is continuing tomorrow. There's no basis for negotiations. Is that what they are saying to us?
The basis for the negotiations is on the terms of taking it forward. We've gone through a process where we stepped in was on not the long-term issue as much. Myself, the Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank, the DG of Treasury, and the CEO of SASSA established a technical team and said, please, give us options that allows us to pay on the 1st of April. And they came with six options. And we went through those 6 options very meticulously. I mean, some of us wanted option 2 because we felt that using the bank's grindrod may just make the legality issue much easier. But the Office of Central Procurement said it's the same thing, whether you go with grindrod or whether you go with CPS. It's one and the same thing. So I was disabused of my own notion that that was an option, which I preferred in many ways. The option from Treasury, which was basically saying, let's use the banks, all the banks, and then also use tender for cash. In discussions on that, and I know that was reflected in the letter, but essentially in the discussions, some of us raised questions, can you really get a cash tender out in 10 days? Very practical issues that we discussed. What we then arrived at was that option 1, which was essentially at that stage an extension, you know, based on a number of legal steps that we needed to take, was the better option to take. And so CPS then, to continue the process, was we arrived at so that we don't face a crisis, so that the process is as smooth as possible. The negotiations that the team is going into tomorrow must then be guided by the issues that the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Social Development have said. Existing budget cannot be exceeded. So the kind of issues that the letters speak, kind of figures that will escalate it, now clearly the team knows that they can't go beyond a mandated position of, they can't go beyond the existing budget. Secondly, the concerns around CPS and the manner in which they've engaged in the financial services space is such that we have to make sure that when they negotiate, that we get the best possible contract so that there's no scope for deductions other than what is allowed for by the Social Assistance Act. And then the regulations that we still don't have a court finding on. But those are the issues that the negotiations is going to be about. It's going to be about pricing, and it's going to be about what can be allowed and cannot be allowed going forward, because we cannot allow what has happened in the past to happen again.
On what?
They knew that the contract will come to an end. So does it mean they did not plan as a government? Because what he's saying is like it's a crisis that happened now, but if they were serious with their job, it wouldn't be a crisis. They would have negotiated from the day, 3 years to come or so. It's not a crisis if they did their job properly. So he did not answer me.
Well, your former colleague did talk to it. It was 50% their responsibility, and the other 50% lay somewhere. I 10 seconds commitment, and then I want us to.
I just want to drive this point home. We must not sit here as if this is an emergency. I know that it's been discussed. You know why, Chair? When this contract, invalid as it was when it was signed, it had a lifespan. So whether it was invalid or it was valid, at some point, the department knew, SASA knew that it would end. That's where I think moving forward we need to zoom into the incompetence around consequence management, just the failure, sheer failure, to manage a contract in its lifespan. That when you entered into one, you had no sustainable thinking, no sustainable plan that you would need to get a new contract. Then all these other complexities are now being used to shield that, no, but it's a crisis. No, it's not a crisis. It's pure incompetence of the highest order.
Okay, Chair, just to pick up on what Comrade Leng was saying, I asked the question, what was the image painted to you by the advisory committee that has led to your views that no, by the 1st of April everything will be in order? What is this picture that we're not getting here? Because you didn't go to bidding, you didn't go to do all those things. It means someone told you things will be in place, and that someone must give whatever man was paid to them for lying to us, for misleading us, for doing all those things. And whoever failed to do their job must also leave the department.
I thought that was the last round of engagement. Yes, Ma'am Ross, and then
Thank you, Chair. And in line with what my last colleague said, does SARSA have a legal team? Not the advisory committee, not the task team. Do they have an HR department? Do they have a legal team? Do they have an ICT department? They do. We know they do. So why then did we spend 4 million rand on an advisory committee when you already have the capacity within your department, number one? And number two, why then did we pay 12 million rand to the ICT, who was only appointed in August 2016, by November had been paid 12 million rand, when there was already an ICT team within the department? Why did we employ another one? What's wrong with our current systems? Why did we pay a legal person 4 million rand or 269,000 rand, whatever it was, when we have our own legal department? Are we saying that SARSA itself, the current SARSA setup, is so incompetent that none of them can do this, that we've had to procure the services unprocedurally of other people to come in and do this job for us? I think it's a very serious question, and I think we need to get Treasury to investigate this as well. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'd just like to make the statement that we fully support a full parliamentary inquiry into SARSA, and also the gross mismanagement is horrific. We saw the incompetence on a scale that we've never imagined could happen. We've seen the risk to the public of South Africa, especially those people depending on the 17 million people depending on the grants. It is totally unacceptable what has happened, and I believe that there should be consequence, and this is the job of our committee to ensure consequence management, and we will support a full parliamentary inquiry into this.
No, I was going to say, Chairperson, going along with what they are putting up, that well, this is a SCOPA recommendation at the end of the day, that you would have to just ask our team to put together a proper resolution, and we come back and adopt that resolution so that you can take the matter quite serious, you see, because whatever the DG says now, you see, quite clearly, DG, you are saying to us that, yes, tomorrow the negotiations are based on pricing, on the basis that PPS is continuing with its work. And you are saying that we should tell the public that they will get paid, that we should not be worried about. That's where the position comes from, that you are confident that everybody will be paid on the first. So there is no crisis there, that is correct. But as a parliamentary committee, we should be concerned about how the matter has been handled in our own space. Because the Auditor General and different bodies that have come in front of the parliamentary committee to come and preside and give us information of how the matter was being handled, it would be totally disingenuous of SCOPA not to take the matter up in a very serious way that it has occurred in front of our, I mean, in our own work as we're doing the monitoring and evaluation of this work that is being done by departments. So based on that, we would then call first the ministry to come and talk to us. And after the ministry have not convinced or not convinced us, would have to then continue a SCOPA to solicit a lot of answers. Because you can't, when the Constitutional Court has said in 3 years' time, sort out this matter, you don't solve it. And you just continue changing the people, the personnel of the department in a manner that makes South Africans to feel that the future of South Africa is endangered. Because that's what we do. We have to protect ourselves under oath. That we have the oath that we have taken, that we can't allow ourselves to come in a situation where South Africans are feeling that their lives are being endangered. And it's on those basis, Chairperson, that we are beginning to say as COPPA, we would have to take a more solid position to present to Parliament so that we tighten up the matter, so that it doesn't occur again in South Africa under our own in a democratic government.
Comrade, I'm not going to allow the officials to respond. Principally because, you know, the questions you have raised are actually an indication of failure. So
They can, failures cannot be explained away. And I want to say that I'm sure comrades remember what we did with the correctional service. Remember we had engagements with the officials, and at the end we said, let the minister come on specific issues, not on everything. And I think we all know when you're driving on the road, you don't like a driver who swerves around and make all of you apprehensive and fear that you might, you know, capsize. And I think this is what SASSA has done to South Africa. Everybody's apprehensive. 1st of April, are we going to get our pay or not? And it might be that it's a groundless apprehension, but they've just, they've this thing created on everybody. I've not told my mother about this, but she may or may not get. But let me check with the Tanga if there's any matter I would want to talk to from a trader perspective.
Thank you. I don't think that I can comment on the merits and the merits of the case, but otherwise the concerns that members were raising are some of the concerns that we raised as National Treasurer. But what is key is that Section 38 is very clear. The procurement decision rests with the accounting officer or the accounting authority. We can only advise. And if we advise, they decide to break the law, they must face the consequences.
All right. Comrades, let me thank you very much. DG, your team, acting CEO, and your team, we want to thank you very much. This was bound to be quite an involved and engaged discussion because of the matters involved, except DG to say that you know, it's quite complicated. It's quite worrying that in the midst of a negotiation on a matter this critical, the CEO is on sick leave. Is he sick because of the magnitude of this problem, or what? It does not reflect good, and it's very worrying, I must say. You know, we are in Parliament. We are representing the people. Parliament is making this accessible to our people. So any responses that, you know, are clownish are being relayed to the people out there, to the public out there, you know. So for me, that is the first concern. With the background that he has, that I don't want to talk into, how he has been deployed within government to assist in institutions that were in crisis, successfully so. Why should they have hypertension about SASSA? So, it merely raises further questions. Two, you know, and I'm sure, like we say, we'll talk to the minister, but let me say to you, DG, this CPS thing is a ruse. See, we're all clever, we all went to school, so we all went to school. This is a ruse. It's a ruse. It's a ruse that we've been given here. Clearly laid out plan to create an emergency and put a gun on everybody in South Africa. The critical political question is why? What interest? Whose interest? And I don't know if I heard Ms. Mvulane well, that they are looking at a new contract with CPS that should take us to 2019-2020. What did you say? You spoke about 2020. What was 2020 about? Or how long a contract are you looking at negotiating?
Chair, the 2020-2019 is when SASSA will be ready. I was just laying the phases, not necessarily on the negotiation and what duration will CPS.
What is the difference? I mean, if you are not ready until 2019-2020.
I have indicated, Chair, there will be a transitional procurement process just to take us through while we are readying ourselves. So the negotiation with the current service provider is...
You had 5 years to prepare for the CPS transition. And now we must believe that, you know... So I'm just saying that... whatever is going to be negotiated, I can assure you that there is a line in the sand that we can stomach. I don't think we can stomach anything beyond 12 months. We've read papers about 2 years and whatnot and whatnot. But I think we'll need to look at making time to have the minister soonest so that we can have clarity on these things. Like I say, for all the things that we do, there are consequences, administrative and political consequences. So if people are on a suicide mission, well, let them go ahead and let's see what happens. But I think that... SASSA and the department have really not been fair on Parliament, have not been fair on the public. I got a letter from the minister yesterday around 4 in the afternoon, making certain requests about today's process. I mean, really, what am I supposed to do at that time? I'm not even in Cape Town. It's sent to my office, which for me was an epitome of how things are handled. We do rush things. It's okay if you do that with your personal life, but not with issues that affect the public, you see. And in that letter, the minister did not say to me that she's not going to be here. Like I said when I started, this is more than just an administrative problem. It's a political problem. You need political leadership to come and give accountability. It's a platform. Assure the public that we have everything under control. And when you say the CEO is not here, the minister is not here, what message does it send? And DG, I look at all your officials here. I've been looking from one end to the other. These people, do they really, really think we must believe the story we're hearing here? Honestly. Is there an expectation that we must believe all these long-winded explanations that we're getting? But anyway, I think let's have the political session like we had with correctional services, and then we can then be able to then write to Parliament, having a definitive, position and perspective. But I think the message, DG, is we're not happy. We're not happy with our engagement, but we're also extremely unhappy with how SASSA has handled itself and handled matters. I want to close. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Chair, it's not a question, it's a comment. We are 1 month away tomorrow to finalise this matter.
Sure.
Can we deal with the minister getting back here as a matter of urgency? We cannot drag this out another 6 weeks, another 2 months.
But you must question, Chair, that members of the Portfolio Committee must do their job at the Portfolio Committee level. They should not come here into SCOP and want to set up their problems.
Right.
They must sort out the issues in the Portfolio Committee.
That's fine. I think that's how we also want to look at it, in terms of the sooner the better. So we'll have to see how we juggle our existing program, so that we do that. Shinangano, you must remind me. I must
I must send you a letter for which I need a response about SASSA. Because we, and I'm sure we'll also deal with that, there's a fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 1 million. What the CEO could not answer last year was, who is going to pay that money? Because if you're fruitless and wasteful, there is an individual who is involved. There is this issue about protection, whatever. I know it's SASSA says department pay us back. Whether you pay them back or you don't, that actual expenditure itself, where people became so important that we have to play policemen around them, it does need to be concluded, and somebody must take responsibility. And I'm writing to you on the SAP&T irregular expenditure, because we spoke to it last year and we're not able to get anywhere. There is a question that I want you to answer, and once you have answered that issue together with the other two, we'll need to get definitive answers in terms of who is going to take responsibility for those. So you must remind me if I don't write you. Okay, sure. I must send it. Okay. Comrades, tomorrow it's the SABC irregular and fruitless expenditure. Comrade Boy, you must go and prepare yourself to lead us on that one. Okay. Comrades, thank you very much.